The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Good afternoon on this Friday afternoon. How are you? 51551 for your texts. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. There's a palpable giddiness around the place today because a lot of the people in the radio building are heading off to Croke Park tonight to see the Spice Girls. They're trying to relive their youth. So they were all of a certain age at a certain time when the Spice Girls were offering us girl power and everything else. And now they're in their early 30s. And they're going back to Croke Park and they'll have those things that you wave around in the air and they'll be pretending that they're 15 and 16 again. We have two super fans on, Niamh and Katrina. They're going to be in studio and then Anthony from Kilkenny is going to be on the phone to talk to us why Spice Girls are so special and what was the whole phenomenon about? Was it more than just girl power? Did they strike a chord at a particular time in the history of our planet? We'll be asking big questions like that of them. Also today, Pauline MacLynn guides us through the soundtrack to her life. Really looking forward to that. She's always very pleasant company and funny with it. And after 4 o'clock, an old friend of mine from my den days, Don Conroy, is in for a chat. And if anybody in this country can draw an owl, they'll probably credit Don Conroy with that skill. Because he was the man who came on the den on a regular basis and showed you how to draw owls among other birds. But owls were definitely his favourites. So I'm looking forward to catching up with Don after 4 o'clock. Loads of correspondence and a written letter always gets our attention up in the office because most things now are electronic and digital. It comes in via email and Twitter and text and all that. But Mary Whittle was on to us from Waterford. She says, "Dear Ray," handwritten, "I found your radio show very interesting, listening to that lady speaking of the cow with the triplets. It sent me searching for an edition of the Munster Express my late mother had kept carefully wrapped in cardboard for safekeeping all over the years. It's dated the 8th of the 7th, 1955. Which is what, nearly 64 years ago, when my late father, Mossy Whittle, had a cow who gave birth to 3 calves. Of course, then he didn't have availability to scans. As you can see from the enclosed photo, the cow with 3 healthy-looking calves and the proud owner. It got front-page coverage on the local paper. Farmers travelled from far and wide to see for themselves this rare event. And that was the topic of many a conversation. So thanks for bringing back these lovely memories. Kind regards, Mary Whittle." And she's taken a picture of the cover of the Munster Express, Friday, July the 8th, 1955. "These may yet be show winners" is the headline beside a picture of a cow, 3 calves, and Mossy Whittle in his best suit, his hat and his shirt and tie. And the paragraph reads, "A rare event in agriculture life." Sorry, I'll start again. "A rare event in agricultural life occurred recently on the farm of Mr. Mossy Whittle, Killoore, County Waterford, when a cow gave birth to triplets shown above." And then this is my favourite part, because alongside the picture, it says, "The proud owner of the animals is also in the picture." Just in case you were confused about the human in the picture, "The proud owner of the animals is also in the picture." Photo by J. Brendan Dalton, Waterford. That's lovely. And thanks for that, Mary. Thanks for sending that in to us. Still on photographs, this came into ray@rte.ie. From Therese, says, "Some years back while listening to your radio show, I heard you ask people to send a photo of whatever they were doing in that moment for a book you had in mind to do. I was at home painting and my son took the photo. It appeared in the book. Thank you. Now, some years after, I'm happy to say I'm again showing my paintings, this time in the National Botanic Gardens, Glasnevin. Our National Botanic Gardens is very beautiful. There's a very nice coffee shop for lunches, tea and coffee. Above the reception area is probably one of the nicest rooms in Dublin. From this room, there are great views of the garden. My exhibition runs there until the 9th of June, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. every day until six on weekends. Maybe you could give it a mention. Well, I did. There you go. Therese McAllister. And there's the picture. We did 2 books, one in 2005 and one in 2010. And that was the idea. It seems sort of quite quaint now. But back in the day when camera phones were still a bit of a novelty. We realised that everybody had the ability to take pictures on the move, so we designated a day and said, take a picture, send it in to us, and we'll put it in a book. That was it. That's it there. And we did two books. And I think the first one was for Childline, I think. And because so many people went out and bought it, we were able to hand over a cheque for €300,000 to Childline. And then the second one we did in 2010, same premise, Bernardo's, they benefit to the tune of 300,000. So there you go. So Therese McAllister is still painting, and she's showing her work in a room above the cafe in the Botanical Gardens in Dublin until June 9th. Yesterday we were talking about the death of Judith Kerr and about reading to your children at night. And we got loads of lovely texts and emails. And one that we didn't get to is from Maria in Dublin. It came in to ray@rte.ie. I have brought my daughter up on my own, having been widowed when she was only a couple of months old. Even on the most difficult of days, and there were many, I always made time for a bedtime story. It was the best part of my day, and this happy time helped to overshadow the sadness. My daughter is nearly 30 years of age now, and her bedtime story is her abiding memory of her childhood. She says she treasures those times together and plans to carry on the tradition when she has children of her own. Please, 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 parents, put the devices away, read a bedtime story, and make some memories, is the message from Maria. Yesterday we also discussed with Fiona Looney the fact that Toy Story 4 is on the way, due for release on June 21st, I think, and it's going to be the last one. I didn't know that. But Tom Hanks was on the Ellen DeGeneres show, and of course he is the voice of Woody, and this will sort of make you feel old. The first Toy Story movie was released in 1995, 24 years ago. Anyway, he was on Ellen during the week, and he says that Tim Allen, who voices Buzz, warned him before he went in to record his lines that it was going to be a tearjerker. This is the end of the series, and I'd gotten some texts from Tim Allen. And these texts that say, have you recorded yet? Have you been in? Have you had a session yet? I said, no, not yet. Wait until you see those last pages, said Tim Allen. Tough one, tough one. And Hanks added, and it was. The last few sessions were saying goodbye to Woody and Buzz and Bonnie's room and Andy and everybody on Toy Story. So it's going to be a real tearjerker. But I'm really looking forward to seeing it. And the trailer looks brilliant. Did you ever wonder... You probably didn't. Did you ever wonder what a post box looks like below the ground? No, you didn't. I didn't think you would. Anyway, if you're curious about what it looks like, there's a picture in the Examiner today, because there's one going on sale next Tuesday at an auction in County Laois, Shepherd's Auction House, in a collection of garden sculpture, architectural ornaments and French art. There is an original cast iron Irish Post and Telegraph post box. The P&T. What did we come after the P&T? Post and Telegraphs, then was it on Post and Telecom Éireann? They separated and went their separate ways. Anyway, there's a post box for sale. They reckon it could go for between 6,000 and 9,000 euro. And it stood in St. Patrick Street in Cork and was made by Andrew Handyside and Company Limited, Derby in England, sometime between 1887 and 1901. And it's the first one that's gone on sale, they're saying here. That's what they're saying. It was donated to a charity auction years ago following demolition work. So the thing that you would have seen above the ground is that cylindrical shape. It's about 4 foot tall, green, and the opening for your letters is just below the top, and the top looks like a bit of a hat. But below the surface would have been another, I'd say, 3 foot. For about a foot of it, it's solid, and then it has a thing with openings, probably so earth or concrete can go into it. And it looks like it has a personality when you see it, because, you know, the hat and the opening is the mouth, and now with these openings down at the bottom, it looks like it has feet or legs, and it can move. So that could be a character in a Toy Story movie. Oh, they're doing the last one. It's very sad. I mentioned Spice Girls are playing tonight. Tomorrow night in Páirc Cuíve, Rod Stewart takes the stage. And we can give our three amigos outside. Actually, Pauline McLean is there. You've a vote as well. There's four. So we have Gordon and Neil and Dave and Pauline McLean. Vote. I have a number of Rod Stewart songs. Will it be... That's You Wear It Well, just for your information. Or this one. You're In My Heart and You're In My Soul. Or this one. That'd be Hot Legs. Pauline. And finally, this one, I'm giving you four.
Do you think I'm sexy? Three. Pauline, what are you going for? Four. Okay. Oh God, I've the casting vote. I'm hardly going to go for do you think I'm sexy? So I'm going to go for hot legs. Good afternoon. Woo! Rod Stewart, hot legs. What about Maggie May? Says Mary in rainy Spain. Sorry, I forgot that one. So many hits, Mary. Not to make you more depressed in rainy Spain, but it's lovely here. Lovely, very warm. Sun is shining. A lot of people reminded me that Mark Knopfler is playing in the Three Arena tonight. Karen and Miles are on their way from Clare for the gig. And with all the excitement of the Spice Girls being in Croker tonight, can you give a big shout out to all the Mark Knopfler Dire Straits fans who are travelling to see him in the Three Arena? That's from Anita and Martin, big fans of Mark. Spoke to him on the show. Lovely man, really lovely man. And on Spice Girls, my daughter and her friend appeared on your quiz on the Den in 1996. They won tickets to the premiere of the Spice Girls movie. It was all such fun. They also won the famous Den denim jackets. My daughter later traded the jacket for tickets for Oxygen in her late teens. Not sure she thinks that was a good decision, though. She's off to Croke Park later today. Adele, you have to let them make decisions, don't you? And sometimes they make mistakes. That's all part of the learning process of becoming an adult. God, I was obsessed. And then when they filmed in Dublin, the excitement. That's about Spice Girls. And so many owls drawn in our house growing up. Thanks to that man. That's with reference to Don Conroy, who we'll be speaking to after 4 o'clock. 51551 or ray@rte.ie.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Right, every Friday we invite somebody in and ask them to guide us through the soundtrack to their lives. And today it is the turn of Pauline MacLynn.
Hooray. Great to be here.
Now, before we go any further, your name, because I'm very careful to say MacLynn.
Yeah, and I say that as well, but people say MacLynn, including people in Sligo, my people, they'll often say MacLynn.
MacLynn would be MCGLYNN, yeah, but your name is MCLYNN.
Yeah, so I'd say MacLynn, yeah.
Are you touchy about it?
Do you know, I take it on a check, the G. But other than that, I just think, and in fact, actually, I have a rule. If I get asked to do anything, you know, it doesn't matter how fair the charity or anything is, if my name is misspelled, it's an automatic no.
Is it?
And I might love to save the world, as we know. I'm trying my best, but if it comes down to the spelling of my surname, I'm just thinking, no, you didn't make the effort. You
so
didn't look
MacLynn.
It up.
MacLynn. Thanks so much for coming in. Great to see you.
Great crack remembering things from your childhood.
Yes, before we do that as well, remembering back, you were in the company of the Spice Girls for a whole evening.
I certainly was. We did one of those, you know, an evening with in the old ITV studios, and it was an all-women audience. So I went with my sisters-in-law, and we had a wonderful evening. It was great. I will say, though, mind you, there was great goodie bags afterwards, full of merchandise and the whole lot. By the time we got to them, everyone else had left with their arms full of bags, you know.
You didn't get one?
No, we didn't get one at all. That's because famous people were coming along and saying, I'll have five of those and whatever else. We left with none of that, you know.
Were they at their peak at the time? Were they?
They would have been, yeah.
Superstars.
Hit after hit. Yes. They were really brilliant. I can't stress it enough. And we had the great pleasure then afterwards going to the after party. And David Beckham had just started going out with Posh Spice, and he was there, loveliest fellow, lovely and shy. They'd been beaten earlier the day in the match. And I got to chat to him about that. Right. And the only one that was tough to deal with was Scary Spice. She was a bit gobby and
She didn't get her name for nothing.
Do you know, that's it, yeah. Because one of their publicity people said, can we take your picture with Scary Spice? Or Mel, I think they called her Mel. And I said, sure. And when she turned around and saw me standing beside her, she said, what's this for? Who's this for? And I went, no, this is for you. I got asked. I'm not pushed.
So I'm honestly not pushed.
She kind of lost me there.
So I take from that she's not your favourite. So,
no, she
so four
be,
left. You know. Who would it be?
Mel C. I think she's a great voice. Yeah. And that duet she did with Bryan Adams is just fantastic.
Yes,
the harmonies and everything. Yeah.
Baby, when you're gone.
Yeah.
Neil tells me. Thanks
Wonderful.
Very much.
Yeah.
Baby, when you're gone.
So I love her. Yeah.
Okay, back to your life now. You were born in in Sligo County Hospital in 1962.
I was.
Padraig and Sheila being your parents.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Although he'd say Padraig now.
Sorry.
If he was still around, don't worry, he's not. So you're unlikely to get a call from him. he's very silent these days. You can't get a rise out of him at all. Which, both sides of the family, the McGowans and the McGlynns, are from Sligo. So I was born in Sligo as well, although my brothers were born in Galway. And I grew up in Galway. So it's kind of like whoever wants me. You know, it can be said that I'm from Sligo, but it can be said I'm from Galway as well. It just depends on who wants what.
And that's why I love this, because I would have always assumed you were Galway through and through.
Yeah. So. And in fact, actually, I'll be in Galway on Sunday because Madra are having their dogathon. So when I'm on my way to Cork to start a new job, which I'll tell you about in a while, I'm going to help kick off the dogathon. It's basically people walking their dogs in their thousands. So it's fantastic. And we have a Madra rescue, though she lives in London now, I must say. Heidi. She's a West of Ireland girl from out the Man Valley, and she's a bit of the West of Ireland in her.
What breed is she?
She's a German Shepherd.
Right. There's
possibly a lick of something else in there as well, I should imagine, but mostly you'd say German Shepherd. Yeah.
Right.
You know, so Madra, very close.
You don't have a dog to walk then? You'll be
somebody might
lend you one.
They might give me a go of their dog. Yeah. Now we do have another little rescue. He's a little Chihuahua who lives in Galway with the rest of the family who are there. That's Wee Rory MacLean, called after Wee Rory McIlroy. Yeah. And basically he doesn't know that he's a dog, so he can't be brought along because he doesn't get dogs and he doesn't like them because he thinks he's a person. Even though he's the tiniest little person you ever met, if that's the case. So, you know, we're surrounded by madness, basically. Yeah.
We have a little dog and Jenny claims he thinks he's a cat because he behaves like a cat.
Yeah. You know, it happens.
Mind you, he's found his voice of late and he's beginning to bark, the little pecker.
And generally cats don't.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
How did your parents meet?
Well, my mother went to school, and indeed to my as did my father, up till they were 16, and then you left school and you got yourself a job, you know, back in the day. But the two of them were going to the tech in Sligo, and one day my mother, when she was about 14 or 15, she fell down the stairs. Now it didn't break anything or anything, but she did fall down a flight of stairs, landed at the bottom, and there was a guy looming over her who said, "I know who you are, you're Sheila McGowan," and then he left her there on the ground, and listeners, she married him. That was my father, Padraig MacLean. Didn't bother to help her up or anything, you know. It was enough that he knew who she was,
right,
apparently.
Romantic story, sounds like.
Well, he was, and I'll tell you another bit of the romance there with that man. When he died, he died in Castlebar Hospital after 10 days of a marvellous snooze. You know, he looked fabulous in the coffin. The rest of us looked terrible at the funeral, but he looked brilliant. And he died on their wedding anniversary. So that's what a romantic sod that man was, you know.
Isn't that a mad coincidence?
Crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And my mother could never get rid of him when she was growing up in Sligo either, because even if she broke it off with him for whatever, you know, spurious reason, he'd just come around to the house and bring my grandmother to the pictures then, you know, and her two youngest, Aileen and Noel, the youngest in the family, her youngest brother and sister, they never knew a time when he wasn't there. They just thought he was a brother, you know.
He was keen then.
Yeah, well, he wouldn't go away.
Yeah. You were the eldest in the family then.
I am the eldest of the two younger brothers. Two younger brothers, Ian, who lives and works in Galway, and then Phil, who lives and works in London.
What age were you when you moved to Galway?
I was 6 months old, so I was in a cradle, in the back of a car, and apparently it was quite an adventure that we arrived alive, because just as we were coming into Galway, apparently you could see the you know, there was no floor in this car or anything, it was a rust bucket, and so you could see the road whizzing by under your feet. I was in the back of a cradle, and just as we were coming into Galway, the back wheel of the car passed us out. So, do you know, we screeched to a speedy halt then, and walked the rest of the way.
So you've no memory of Sligo, really?
No, except that we'd holiday every year, during the summer.
Well, what's your first living memory? And it doesn't have to be a sound.
Yeah, it, It's probably in the house where we lived first, which is down by Lockitalia on College Road, and it's just myself and my brother making our own fun under a hedge. And, do you know, yeah. Do you know that we didn't even have anything to play. We were just running in and out of the hedge. Who knows why? Do you know? But I remember it was the
best.
There
was a great hedge at the end of our garden.
Do you know?
It could be anything.
So you know, that was just myself and Ian because Philip hadn't arrived yet. We moved up to our other house by the time he arrived, and in fact, actually. This was so like my father. It's a wonder we got that house. It was a McInerney house that was built in an estate called Renmore, where the family are still there. And my mother just assumed we were moving to there, but found out afterwards that my father had never actually bothered to put our name down for one of those houses. So then they had to approach the city manager, who happened to be from Sligo. Uh-huh. And I think there was a bit, I can say it out loud now because that was some years ago.
We have your first audio memory. Have a listen to this. No, don't. Actually, I'll do that again because I'm usually in the other studio, so I don't have to worry about faders. This is your, we can edit that out anyway. Yeah. This is your first audio memory.
This isn't live or anything, yeah.
Have you any idea what that is?
No, that's not. Is it? That's not it, it. That doesn't sound at all like I remember, because I'll tell you what my first memory was. When you were ill, when you were growing up,
yeah.
It was a great treat to be able to listen to the Gay Byrne radio show. You see, so I used to hate going back to school because I'd miss Gay Byrne on the radio in the mornings. But of course, if you were sick as well, you got the one glass of Lucozade every day to help you get better.
Right.
And one year, one week when I was
actually milk bottles.
My word. Oh, well then, yeah.
We have to do a lot of editing
on this
one, Neil.
We'll go back to the milk bottles. I'll tell you about the Gay Byrne radio show in a minute. The milk bottles, yeah. You know, we used to get our milk delivered to the door in bottles. So, of course, the sound of milk bottles arriving was the sound of the morning.
Because my grandfather was a milkman. My dad did it for a while, and my auntie did it, my Auntie Ruth.
I hear it now.
Yes, sort of. It's okay.
Yeah, I'm surprised those bottles aren't broken now with the way they're being roughly treated. We would have them delivered, and of course, because it was your full fat milk in the whole lot, and the birdies would get through the foil top and, drink their little bit first thing in the morning. But then we couldn't figure out why it was, unless there was a hummingbird living in Ireland, why there was like a good 2 inches missing out of it. And then one day through the window of the front door, our dog Dennis was seen having the pierced top to the foil. You see, he could stick his tongue in and then drink to his heart's content. Uh-huh. And it was exactly the measure of his tongue into the bottle, and the rest was for us.
Yeah. And of course, you used to get cream at the top.
That's
the cream
and the birdies loved that, you see. Yeah. Yeah,
we used to have it on our porridge.
Yes, cream, yeah. Nice, well, nice, we did nice. Until the birds and Dennis got into it. Yeah.
Now, we are contractually obliged to play the theme tune to the Gay Byrne show every week on Soundtrack to Your Life. So you've already mentioned it. What we've done this week, just to be a little bit different, we've tagged on a little bit of an exchange between Gay Byrne and Joe Duffy.
Oh, marvellous.
At the end of it.
Yeah,
so you're
great.
In for a treat.
Good.
There you are now. Come on, Gay.
There I was doing the programme about 3 weeks ago, and I picked up this small item in the newspaper which said that the farmers of Wales were seeking to find the oldest cow in Wales, and indeed, if possible, the oldest cow in the UK, and indeed, if possible, the oldest cow in Europe, and perhaps even the oldest cow in the world. And that's what I read out, and I knew nothing more about it. And then somebody contacted us and said, "Did you know, Gay? Did you know that the oldest cow in the world actually lives in our country and lives in County Kerry?"
Is it there?
And we said, "Garraway."
"It's true. Yeah. It's verified. We have found a queen in the kingdom. Her name is Bertha.
Bertha.
She is a Drammen cow, and she to be the oldest cow in the world, celebrating her 48th birthday tomorrow. 48 years of age, into her 49th year. So join us if you will. We've done birthday tributes before.
We certainly have.
We sure have, and they've been good. But this one today will be a birthday tribute to a supermother of 39 calves. Easy, gay, sit back, relax. 39 calves. And that be her in the background, Bertie.
I heard it.
Because
I heard
we have
it.
Her in the pen.
Which end was that coming out of?
Down at the front, I do believe. But the gay, by the end of this programme, I will know the difference, I tell you.
They were a great double act, weren't they?
Well, yes, they were.
The timing was perfect.
Yeah, yeah. But it was such a treat when you were sick to be allowed to listen to it. It's like, sorry now, I know it's, you know, dragging you back into the great days of radio, but it was smashing. It was like you never felt ill because you were listening, you got to listen to Gay Byrne.
And can you remember doing a sketch on the Gay Byrne radio show on Scrap Saturday?
We did, yeah. And it was hard to find someone who could do a very good Gay Byrne because he really was hard to mimic, you know. So,
This is you. You're the lady on the phone.
Oh.
And I think it's Dermot Morgan doing Gay Byrne, is it? Would it have been? No,
I don't think
somebody
it does.
Else?
Probably wasn't.
Okay, you might be able to identify the voice. Here we go.
Hello, who is that calling, please?
Is it Mr. Byrne? This is your 6:30 alarm call.
Thank you. 6:30. Ya what, gay? 6:30. 6:30. Exira and Delira. My arse.
It's good, isn't it? That's a very good version. Now, there were two that used to do it. Owen Rowe did a very good Gay Byrne, but I don't think that's him. I think it's another lad he'll kill me now, whoever it is whose name I can't
I think it's
remember.
Not that people couldn't do it. They were just scared to do it.
Well, there's that as well. Yeah, you didn't want to be... Like, everyone... Politicians were always, you know, up for grabs because, you know, that's what they take on. But an icon, a beloved, a national treasure.
No. Hey, now, that was the radio. TV... What were you watching on TV?
Oh, right. Well, I suppose when we were very young, I remember Wanderley Wagon every week. And in the very beginning, when we were living in the house in College Road, we didn't have a television. So we'd go up to the shop that was on the corner. The Francis family ran it and they had a television. And we'd go up and watch Batman every Saturday. And that was such a treat. You know, we were devoted to Batman, obviously in black and white and the whole lot. And, you know, as we grew up then, there'd be like Black Beauty and Follyfoot and all of the cartoons.
Okay. Okay, so we have a selection of theme tunes.
Oh, no. I hope I recognise them. Oh, Black Beauty, isn't it? Yeah.
We leave this fabulous. Run for a while. I forgot how brilliant it is.
Oh, brilliant theme tune, yeah.
Sorry, I just had images of me running over the crest of a hill.
Do you know, funnily enough, me
topless.
Too. Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Very sad. Yeah, but that's the sort of image.
You know, that we shouldn't speak of ever again.
Right, hold on. I better stop that there before I go any further. Yes.
Well, you know, I've now remembered as well that there's another one. And now that I have a connection to Australia, because I get to do a kids' TV show over there, and hopefully we'll get a third series out of that. But Skippy the Bush Kangaroo was another one. My uncle Michael, I'll have to say it out loud, my uncle Michael in Sligo, my favourite uncle, I'll get in trouble there, but you know, he was a teacher in Summerhill, and because he spent all of his time going to people when they disappointed him, he got the nickname Skippy. So
we don't have Skippy there,
and it was only because of that. Yeah,
computer says no, we don't have Skippy. Sorry about
Skippy,
that. I tell you what, we do have
the bush kangaroo,
which people will love. Huh? That was very good.
Possibly my favourite ever. Yeah, I loved Witchy Poo so much.
You'd be a very good Witchy Poo.
One of the great parts.
You should bring it back.
Do you know?
Just for you.
And of course, it was Jack Wilder. It was a guy who played...
Jack Wilde.
Not Jack Wilder. Yeah. Who played Witchy Poo. You know, it's a fantastic character, you know.
Jack Wilde was Jimmy.
Oh, right. Well, then
so I don't know who played Witchy Poo.
Yeah, me neither then. I've mixed it up.
There was only 17 of them made.
See, classic.
Yeah.
Could never go off the boil, you know.
Yeah.
But H.R. Puffington. And again, a great intro, isn't it? The music
It tells the whole story.
Yeah.
How's that? And then the thing that I never heard of before, never mentioned in this slot, is this.
Tell us
about Follyfoot.
Well, Follyfoot, I think, if I remember correctly now, was kind of like a cut-price Black Beauty. You know, I think there was a horse of some sort involved in it. But again, I remember more about the music than I do about the series because it was such a beautiful
tune. What sort of child were you?
Do you know, my mother said when I was very little, I was very helpful to the point where she really just wanted to pinch me. You know, like
to make you bold,
help
or
her. Yeah, oh, right. Help her push the baby's pram and all that. It was helpful, but I grew out of that, obviously. I then just was giddy. I ran wild because in those days you could. I mean, where we live in Galway now, in Remore, like there were no houses. I remember the houses behind us in our estate being built, running down to wave at the workmen as they were going off after their day's work in their trucks. You know, like there was nothing, and now it stretches way, way, way back as far as Merlin Park Hospital. You know, yeah. So it's so different times.
So you're nearly feral, were you?
Pretty much. Yeah. And of course, that's all. Apparently, we're all trying to do as we grow older is to get back to that bit. You know, where we're not in charge, someone else is, and we can run wild. Yeah.
It's a lovely notion,
isn't it? Yeah. Will we ever see that like again? I don't know. Because now, you know, like I'm of an age where, it's a few more deaths and it's me. Not death, but so much as having to step up and take care of the place, you know. And the poor old world is the planet is shanghaied, where it's in trouble. So we have to leave it a bit better than we got it.
Because you've always been aware of that side of it. You were talking about the environment before a lot of people were talking about it.
Yeah.
Does that bring you down?
Oh, very much so, yeah. Look, you wouldn't get out of bed in the morning, though, if you let it get you down. Yeah. You know, it's a... Because, I mean, I for instance, Brian May from Queen, yeah. I nearly met him once as I was doing a protest. I loved Queen, and I know where I was when Freddie Mercury died. You know, everyone say, where were you when JFK was shot, or John Lennon, or whatever? No, Freddie was the first, and Phil Lynott. You know, those were my lads. I nearly met him once. We were doing a protest outside DEFRA, which is the, the Department of Agriculture watchdog, if you like, in London one Christmas. And the reason he didn't turn up is that sometimes he gets so depressed by what's happening to animals and the world that he literally
can't get out of bed.
Yeah, you know, he bless him. So he went up even further in my estimation then, you know.
How do you sell the message to people? It's so gigantic.
It is. And you feel, I suppose, that there's nothing you can do. Yeah. But if every single person did one thing today, you know, to help, then, you know, it all adds up. It's like, you know, if you're involved in animal rescue at all, people say, you know, you didn't save the world. No, but you changed the world for the one animal that you did. So one at a time.
What did you do?
If that's what it takes. Yeah. I'm very impressed with that cow, Bertha, that lived to be 48 or 49.
Yes.
I doubt that happens in Ireland much anymore unless a creature's been rescued and given to a sanctuary. Do you know?
Oh. Right. Away from that and more sort of entertaining things, what about you and entertainment? Were you that type of child that craved an audience and the laughter and applause?
I didn't think I was, except that I do remember when I was at secondary school, my mother went off to the regional tech, as it was then, it's GMIT now in Galway, and she'd always painted. So she went up and did an art and design course, and it was grand because we were out at school anyway all day, so it made no difference to us. And we all had little jobs, you know, and you get paid before your summer holidays and before Christmas, so you'd always have a few bob. I think the woman was beggared. I don't know how she managed it, you know. But she went off and did all of that. And I remember she would come back with stories of the people, the other students and her teachers and everything. And I would do my own version of them then based on what she said. And one night I made her laugh so hard. I don't know how I'd hit the nail on the head with some teacher that she got a little bit of sick on her card. She laughed so hard.
She
brought up her, just a little bit of her tea. So I guess that was a result. Yeah, I made someone laugh so hard they got sick.
So that was a turning point.
That's interesting. Yeah.
I Brendan Grace, you've cited Brendan Grace.
Yeah.
And he would have been around when you were...
Grown up, like, you know, early secondary school time, if you like, you know, and I remember my brother or my mother and father going out to see him in Oranmore. He did a gig out there once, and we had a cassette tape of him live, it was long before videos were live or anything, and we used to play that on our cassette recorders. But we particularly loved Butler. I just thought it was the funniest thing ever.
We have a clip of Butler, and he's talking about his teacher.
Butler talks about
his teacher.
Our teacher had no favourites. He hated us all. And he looked down the classroom one day and he said, Butler? I said, yes, sir. He said, who invented the thermometer? It's Freddie Mercury.
What were the chances? We just talked about it.
O'Neill. Yes, sir. Who was the first woman in the world?
The first?
Yes.
Give us a clue.
First woman in the world. Apple.
Granny Smith.
So simple, you know, so funny. It's great. And of course, many, many, many years later, he was in Father Ted. Yeah. So, yeah, and in fact, my mother and father came to the recording that he was at, as indeed did Ardell's parents.
His father, what was his name?
Oh, yes, he was very evil in it.
Clinton Stack. Fintan Stack.
Yeah. Thanks, Niamh. And in fact, actually, that's one of Mrs. Doyle's great moments is he's listening to all this jungle music and she's trying to offer him a cup of tea. So it's everyone thought we were ripping off the Bob Dylan video, you know, where he does the signs again, yeah, again,
subterraneous
again.
Homesick blues.
It wasn't that at all. It was, I said, surely I should have a load of signs, not just one sign that I'm pushing at him. So, you know, a little realising I'd paid homage to the great Bob Dylan. Well, there you go.
That must have been very special. I know I've spoken to you before about Father Ted, but the live recordings in front of a live audience.
Yeah. Well, it's the only show that I've ever been in where the laughs were taken out because they were too distracting for a TV audience, because if the people were sitting watching it, they could see things beyond what the shot was. So if somebody was getting ready to do something, or still, you know, like we'd rehearse for the week, so you'd be acting away in a corner, but you mightn't be in shot.
Yeah.
So if people were watching something funny happening in a corner, because there was always something funny happening, even if it was the thing we were supposed to be concentrating on, they could see that. And then people at home, if they heard the laugh, would think, why was there a laugh before laugh?
Yeah,
so,
you know, amazing. We're talking to Pauline MacLean about the soundtrack to her life, and we have to take a quick commercial break, and we talk to Pauline more after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
RTE Radio 1.
Nile Rodgers and Chic, live at Dublin St. Anne's Park this summer. With special guests, Kaiser Chiefs. Bank Holiday Sunday, June 2nd. Tickets available now from Ticketmaster, subject to license. The legendary Nile Rodgers and Chic bring their spectacular live show to St. Anne's Park. Tickets available now.
Music updates on RTE Radio 1.
Ever wondered where standards come from? If you're involved in innovation, you probably have. And the simple answer is, they're developed by people like you. NSAI is the National Standards Authority of Ireland. When we're developing a new standard or updating an existing one, your expertise is invaluable. So you can help influence the direction of your industry and be among the first to hear about new developments. If you'd like to participate, visit nsai.ie today or call 01 807 3800. That's 01 807 3800.
What is it that drives you? If it's the pursuit of power, passion and style, then prepare to be amazed. Introducing the brand new Peugeot 508, the perfect expression of everything that drives us to create cars that stir the soul. The new 508 brings elegance and engineering to a whole new level, with features like Peugeot's unique iCockpit interior, night vision and adaptive cruise control. Test drive the amazing new 508 at your nearest Peugeot dealer. See Peugeot.ie for details.
Coming up on Friday's Drive Time, May calls it a day. Theresa May to stand down as Conservative Party leader by June the 7th. Who will succeed her and how will that influence Brexit? Ireland goes to the polls. We'll have updates on turnout around the country. And author Joseph O'Connor is back with his Drive Time Diaries.
Drive Time with Mary Wilson. Weekdays from 4:30 on RTE Radio 1.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Be exam ready with advice on vitamins and supplements at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Pauline MacLean is still with us. Best wishes to Pauline from a Father Ted fan. Padraig, that's pronounced Padraig, not Padraig, also born in 1962, but in Mayo. Tell Pauline I've read Woman on the Bus. Brilliant, says Matty.
Oh.
And greetings from the McGahans in Dunnamara Drive.
Yeah,
would that
the
be
McGahans,
neighbours,
yeah,
would it?
They are indeed.
Well, I would consider Pauline anything other than pure Renmore. Anything other than, that's somebody surprised at the Sligo thing. Hello to Pauline MacLean from a distant cousin in Dublin. Pauline's grandmother, Nellie, and my grandmother were sisters.
Oh, lovely. So
and just listen to Pauline, and it brings back a lot of memories. Her lovely dad called to our garage every Friday for years, and he's greatly missed. I often think of laughs we used to have from a listener, Nathan Roy. He was into motor factors. That was his job.
Yeah, he sold parts of cars all around the West of Ireland. Right. Yeah, and he was great fun. I mean, that's all he was interested in was a laugh, you know. He'd do any kind of divilment to just for a laugh. Yeah, right. It was great.
And there's somebody else. Her dad, Porrick, worked for Autolec and later had his own motor factor business, so laid back and a real gent, says Dermot. And I remember Dermot Morgan saying he found Gayburn's voice too slippery. I think Joe Taylor did the Gaybo voice for Scrap Satter, says Donal. And who's listening today? Only BB Baskin. Listen to Pauline now. Pauline used to do me on Scrap Saturday. That's she was a howl.
Not very well, no.
You wouldn't have a go at it. You'd have a go at BB.
Well, I had to be every woman in the land, and indeed, or as Gay would say, in the land, in the world even, you know. And I remember I once introduced myself to Mary Robinson, who was the president at the time, and I didn't know there was etiquette, so I just marched up to say hello to her at a theatre opening, and I said, I'm the one who does you on Scrap Saturday. And she said, my children do a better version of me. And I went, Ari, I have 7 years to get it right. So, you know.
Yeah, and you were saying that because, you know, Dermot's obviously sadly missed. And that must have been great fun as well, was it?
It was.
Well, a weekly recording, wasn't
it? Yeah, weekly.
It had to be topical.
Yeah, and it was the divilment in that was tremendous. And I mean, the greatest compliment for us was we heard that recordings of it went out every week in the diplomatic bags to all the all the embassies around the world, just so that they could keep up with what was going on in Ireland, you know, and what, you know, what divilment we were up to as well as the politicians.
That was brilliant.
Yeah.
So they were waiting for their pouch. And
for a laugh as well, yeah.
Come in, Michael. We have the pouch. Let's listen to Scrap Saturday.
Yes, never mind the paperwork. That cassette on. Yeah.
So the acting thing then, where did it, apart from making your mother get sick, where because you didn't do acting at college.
No, I didn't. There wasn't an acting course in Ireland at the time. So I went off to Trinity and I studied modern English, or English 2 as it was known there, and history of art. And I actually majored in history of art, probably because, you know, because of the mammy doing all the arty stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I was interested in that. And I wouldn't be good enough, you know, to draw or paint. Although I believe anyone can. And I mean, you know, I got to present that fabulous programme Painting the Nation, you see, on television. So I'm really interested in all that, you know, and anyone can, you know. But of course, I'd be fussy now, because unless I could paint like Picasso I just think, no, not good enough.
Is that a trait?
Yeah, apparently I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I don't get it, but apparently I am. Yeah, people say, I don't know. You know, I didn't think I had the energy to be a perfectionist, but there you go.
Don't see that in yourself at all, do you know?
No, I suppose you just want to do the thing as well as you can, don't you? And I think as you grow older, you get fussier about that, don't you? You know, you just think, was that good enough? You know, so you push yourself much harder rather than the opposite, which is probably just, well, you'd have to give it up then, you know. And of course, I could and just retrain, because all I ever wanted to do, I never thought I'd be an actress or that was even possible when I was growing up in Ireland, but I did want to be a hairdresser, and I still think I could attain that, you know. It's never too late to be able to be taught how to give someone a good haircut.
And you know, in all these surveys that they do, and there are numerous surveys in Ireland and in the world.
Do you see, we've caught the game urn.
But they always say that the happiest people are hairdressers.
Really,
the happiest profession.
Now? Jeepers, I didn't know that.
It's hairdressing.
Sure, is it any wonder I wanted that? And I'd love the torture, because, you know, of people. Because my brother Ian and my sister-in-law Curly in Galway, they've both done taxiing, you know, over the years and everything. And they know exactly all the buttons to push with the taxi driver. So if we get into a taxi, wherever we are, they know all the questions to ask that really annoy taxi drivers. So, I mean, I'd be great at asking people if they're going anywhere on their holidays. And I'd be great at saying to them, oh, it's very thin, isn't it? You know, about their hair, or did you cut that fringe yourself? You know, I know them all.
You have to crack.
Yeah.
You have to, it's never too late to retrain.
Do you know?
Never too late to retrain. So there was Scrap Saturday, but before that, you were in the company of Jerry Stembridge and others.
Yeah. Jerry, bless him, he used to, bless him for this, like, I was going to Trinity, and the first thing I did in Freshers Week was I joined the Student Drama Society Players, and it was downhill from there on out. I was always sorry, you know, as the years went on, that I didn't spend more time going to lectures, because fabulous courses, you know, I mean, really, and I did eventually concentrate and get my degree, but I had the most amazing and wonderful time at college, and I recommend it to anyone. But while I was over in the Student Drama Society, I was mostly doing administrative stuff for the first few years, and then kind of fell into a bit of acting, and Stembridge spotted me, and he used to review the shows for the old Evening Press, as it was, and the Irish Press, I think, as well. And out of that came, once I left college, he went, I'm doing a show on RTE, so we made one called Nothing to It, which was kind of like an Irish Young Ones, and it was just basically me and Veronica Coburn and Michael Murphy, the strangely
the great Michael
spelled
Murphy, yes,
of Sligo.
M-I-K-E-L-M-U-R-F-I. Yes.
And in fact, we were in a porto cabin very near to you, I recall, when you were starting off. Yet, and we liked to torture everybody on the campus as well in RTE here. And you know, we were trying to get in a few practical tips for anybody who wanted to be the job that we were supposed to be profiling every week. But mostly we were just doing a bit of crack. So it kind of went from there onwards, you know. But when I left college, like, I wasn't trained to do anything, and there were no jobs. It was 1983. There was nothing. So you might as well just keep the acting.
So it's by default, in a way, you're saying?
Totally by default. So there.
And you're still doing it, and you're in The Small Things by Enda Walsh, which is at the old Waterworks Lee Road in Cork. And it's until next Wednesday, June 29th. That's right.
Oh, yeah. We're starting work on it on Monday, but it's the last 2 weeks of June, it'll be on. Okay. And it's like with Cork Adorka, who are famous for doing kind of these madly site-specific things. Like, they'll do a play in a strange place. Like, 2 years ago, I was with them out on Spike Island doing a show.
Yeah.
Incredible. So Cork has a lot to live up to now. I'll be in Cork itself. I had a lovely time living in Cove.
It's the last 2 weeks of June.
Yeah, we'll be on. And the old Waterworks is
part of the Cork Midsummer Festival. So people can find out more about it.
It's just a two-hander, It's mostly a love story, but it's also about tyranny and freedom of speech and, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a, do people get their money's worth now? It's upsetting as well as intriguing. And a lot of words to learn. But look at, and I'm not getting any younger, right? I don't know if I mentioned it. But anyway.
None of us do, Pauline. None of us do.
But it'll be, they are famous for doing wonderful shows, and Enda Walsh is an incredible writer. So I think the people of Cork, if I were them, this one will, if it's not already sold out, it'll sell out immediately. So don't say you weren't warned.
There's three bits of music, and choose one. We have Albert Hammond, It Never Rains in Southern California. Yeah. We have Ennio Morricone, The Good, the Bad and the Ugly. And we have Aretha Franklin, Respect. Which would you like?
Well, I'll just say something about Albert Hammond, because people don't normally listen, or if they hear this song, they won't feel the same about it as myself and my best friend in Galway, Ger Norman. Jeepers, we loved story songs, you know, and that would be one. But it might be a bit sad, is it, you know, because, oh no, it's lovely. Because The Good, Bad and the Ugly, everybody knows it. Yes. From the first few notes.
Respect is overplayed.
And it kind of is, isn't it? Let's go for Albert Hammond, and this could be from my friend Ger. Jeepers. The time flies, doesn't it? Oh my God.
There's a TV show, Hairdressing with Pauline McLean. I'd watch that, says Dave Mullingar. And
make
love Pauline.
It someone.
I also had the Scratch Saturday cassettes in my loft. There'll never be another Mrs. Doyle. Pure genius. And hi, Pauline. Met you at Dublin Airport. You sent a signed cartoon to my son. You're a wonderful, warm person. Thanks for Mrs. Doyle. Every happiness for the future, says Patrick. Oh,
mighty.
And enjoying the show with Pauline. Just as an add-on to the birds tapping into the milk, they're smarter than we give them credit for. We used to get the regular milk and the skim milk. They never touched the skim milk.
Do you see?
Is he?
Never underestimate the birds. The creatures are smarter than we are. Yeah, for sure.
Just heard you talking to Pauline McLean on the radio. I was on Curraghclough Beach last weekend. I was taking a photo of some beautiful yellow flowers at the entrance. I recognised her voice immediately when she passed. Comment on the lovely flowers. An absolute lady. Yeah. Cheers, Mary.
I remember that lady and it was beautiful. Yeah, myself, Ian and Curly have a camper van and they brought me out camping. In the camper van. And that lady who took a picture of the most beautiful flowers in the sand dunes. Yes, I remember that. Wonderful.
The little things.
Lovely.
It's been a real pleasure. Thanks so much. And it's delightful. The Small Things by Enda Walsh and the Cork Midsummer Festival and corkmidsummer.com for more information on that.
And hopefully I'll see people at the Madra Dogathon as well. Yeah.
In
Come
Galway.
And walk doggies and make some money for rescue.
Pauline, have a great weekend. Thank you very much. Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Or 51551 for your text. Still to come, we have Niamh and Katrina and Anthony, who are all Spice Girls super fans, and Don Conroy. We'll be talking to us about drawing owls and other things. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Now, unless you've been going around with a cardboard box on your head, and we don't recommend that, you'll know that tonight in Dublin's Croke Park, Spice Girls start their Spice World 2019 tour in front of 85,000 people. We have three super fans on the show now. We have Niamh. Good afternoon, Niamh Kelly.
Hi, hope. How are you, Ray?
I'm good. We have Katrina O'Brien. How are you doing, Katrina O'Brien?
Good afternoon, Ray. I'm very good, thanks.
And on the line we have Anthony. How are you doing, Anthony?
I'm good, Ray. How are you?
I'm good. Anthony Delaney, originally from Kilkenny.
That's it.
Right. So what age were all ye when the Spice Girls were at their height? What age were you, Anthony?
I was 12 when they first came out, yeah. So I was almost a teenager, yeah.
Right. And can you remember the significance of the Spice Girls in your life back then?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, like, I've been thinking about this a lot, actually, recently, just because it's, you know, 23 years later, which is kind of crazy that it's been so long and that they're still doing what they're doing now. But, like, yeah, it was the kind of Spice Girl message of kind of inclusivity and diversity and this kind of gang that everyone, every individual that wanted to could belong to. I think as a young kid and as a young queer kid, that was really important for me to hear at that particular point. And I think it's why they've left such a lasting impact with me, you know, going forward now.
And you were a young gay man in rural Kilkenny back in, you know, the 90s.
Yeah. Well, I suppose I was, but I suppose I didn't necessarily even know it because, you know, I was 12, 13 and that. That said, I knew there was certainly something different and I knew that I wasn't fitting in necessarily in the way that other boys my age were and I didn't have the same kind of interest. But when you kind of latch on to the message of the Spice Girls at that age, they're already talking about inclusivity for everybody. And even back then, they're mentioning, you know, their LGBTQI+ fans. They mention them a lot now. So there was definitely something to identify with within that, which felt very empowering as well.
It's a gang that everybody can be in.
It is.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
Katrina, yes.
Well, we thought we were in the gang.
You were in the gang.
We were in the gang. No, we were the Spice Girls. We were just in the gang. Like, I was Melody. Yeah, obviously.
You hit the nail on the head there. It definitely was, like, a feeling of belonging. And anybody could belong. Didn't matter. So, and they're still saying that today, which is fab.
And you were BFs.
Yeah, we were BFFs.
BFFs.
Most of the time. Like, we killed each other as well. So they were just mad. They just came on the scene and they didn't care and they said what they wanted. And it was like, you shut up and listen to us. And I suppose that's our...
That was the connection that we liked with them.
Yeah.
And we both kind of recognised that. And that's, I think, what drew us a little bit closer together.
Could you do all the stuff?
100%.
Thank you very much.
And so, Ray, if you watch our documentary, you will see us in our glory.
I have watched it. And it's brilliant. Because they've done five little mini documentaries on Docklands, which is on the RTE player called Spice Up Your Life. And Niamh and Katrina and Anthony are all featured on that. And it's great fun. Mm. You're all asked what's your favourite Spice Girls song is. Niamh?
Well, I still say Mama. Katrine's going to disagree, but my mom said I used to sing Mama down the phone to her, so I'm sticking with Mama.
Okay, I'll let That's you it. This time.
I don't care what I yeah. said.
I'm definitely Spice Up Your Life. Right. Without a doubt, Spice Up Your Life yeah. is my favourite.
Anthony?
Yeah, Spice Up Your Life for me as well.
Yay!
Great.
Thanks, Anthony.
Yeah, I always thought it was the weakest of their all their
no,
songs.
Ray. Ray. The no. video oh, as well.
Yeah.
No.
yeah.
Video was fab.
Well, what's your favourite song? Well, put it that way.
Well, it would have to be...
Yo, I'll tell you what I want.
And I know it's cliched and everything, but it was so different and so brilliant yeah. on the video.
Well, it was the main one, wasn't it?
They just exploded yeah. onto the scene, didn't they?
And yeah, then absolutely. Everyone like knows what a Zigga Zigga is, right?
Of course.
Of course.
I'm still not really sure what a Zigga Zigga is.
I'll show you later.
That's why she's my best friend.
Oh, yeah. Anthony, so you had a shrine to the Spice Girls in your bedroom.
Well, my bedroom was a shrine. The yes. whole thing was a shrine.
Yeah, that's yeah, what I mean.
It was floor to ceiling. And then I remember at one stage having to, I was lying in my bed looking up the ceiling going, well, it's just going to have to be on the ceiling now as well because I've just run out of room. So we're going to have to start encroaching on the ceiling as well. Yeah, I mean, I had everything. I had all posters from all the magazines. I'd buy, like, I didn't even know I was kind of amassing all of this stuff. But like, yeah. When I kind of got to, when I got a little bit older and I was taking them down, I was like, where am I even going to put all this? Like, I couldn't throw them away. I still have them. They're in my mum's house now in Kilkenny, so they're in a black bag in the attic right now if ever I want to reproduce the shrine.
Anthony, I'll take them
bedroom.
Off your mum's hands if she doesn't want them anymore.
She gladly let them go, but I won't.
Yeah. Have you seen them live, Anthony?
Yeah, I've seen them a few times. So I saw them the first time in 96 in The Point, as it was at the time. That was my first ever concert as well, actually. I went to that one. Then when I live in London, and when I moved over here first, they were doing the reunion, the first reunion thing, and that was in 2007. And so now I'll be seeing them over here again when they're in Wembley. So
Wembley, yeah,
this
yeah,
is
yeah.
their time, yeah.
Yeah, they're getting $400,000, they reckon, each per concert.
Ooh.
So they're all going to make about 2.2 million.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, they deserve
just,
more.
Because people love this. Who do you reckon is the richest? Who's worth the most?
I would have said Posh. But
yes, you're right.
Yeah.
$450 million
Ooh.
Dollars, right?
Is that by yourself, though, or is that with David?
I think it's by herself. And then in second place, it's joint second place. Who would you say are the two?
Jerry and Mel B.
No, I'd say Emma.
Anthony is right, and you're right.
Always.
So Baby Spice and Ginger Spice are okay. on $40 million and then we have Mel C, who was the most successful when it comes to
solo
releases and all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's worth about $33 million. And then at the bottom of the heap, because she's been a bold girl, is Mel B. Mm. And she's worth about $10
million,
which is, you know, it's fine.
Yeah. So I'd be happy with $10
million. Yeah, I'd be happy with that. I'd be absolutely fine. Yeah.
Who's your favourite then? Who's your favourite Spice Girls?
Oh,
Ginger!
Melanie B. Yeah.
Jerry.
I definitely love Melanie B. I love them all,
I'm going to be controversial now and say Victoria Beckham has always been my favourite, so I'm a bit devastated she's not involved.
Yeah,
but, you know.
I agree, Anthony.
I'm not pulling rank here. I don't want to trump up, but I've met him 3 times.
Oh, go way out of that.
Oh, really? Yeah. Just throw that in there, right?
And the one that most impressed me was Victoria.
Really?
Yeah, smart, funny, affable, engaging, all of those things.
Yeah, she is supposed to have a wicked sense of
humour. And it was Jerry and Melanie, like, total head wreckers.
Yeah, no, Jerry was great. She always got a big hug, always. Yeah. Like, she only met them 3 times, but she was very touchy-feely, give us a big hug and all that sort of thing. So she was lovely
She comes across like that. Yeah.
See, that's the thing. They're just so, you know, there's
no reservation.
But
Scary was a bit scary.
Yeah. Really?
Well, maybe she was just fulfilling her. Yeah, that's
have a role to play.
So, Anthony, you're going to see them in Wembley.
I am, and the jealousy's kicking in now of everybody in Dublin who like, at first I was like, this will be fine, but now I'm like, this is not fine. Mm. I should be there.
Right.
Like,
you're not going either.
We're going to Edinburgh.
Why not Dublin?
Because it wasn't released.
Yeah.
So we're travelling to Edinburgh. So,
Well, what happened was, one of our friends, Joanne, she was booking the tickets in Edinburgh, and she was on the line, Ticketmaster, waiting. We got Edinburgh, and the next day,
They released Dublin.
So we were like, oh, even though we're going to have loads of crack in Edinburgh, but that's what happened there.
Still, it's nothing like seeing them on home ground.
So right now, it's come up to 4:15. They're on stage at what, probably
half eight.
Yeah.
So Jess Glynn is on 7:30.
Right.
Yeah.
So what would you want? Would you really, really want?
I really want a Spice Girls tickets.
Well, there you go. Two Spice Girls tickets.
I'm dead.
No way.
Yes, there you go.
Ray, you diamond.
Oh, jeez, you're a superstar.
Do you know what, Ray? Ray, I have to say this. Not also are we Spice Girls super fans, but we're Ray Darcy back in the day on the Den super fans.
Anthony, I've just given the girls tickets for tonight's show.
Oh, Anthony, are you ready?
Thank you. I'm glad you're going to be there.
We'll send you some photos.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, do it.
We'll wave the flag for our docu-series.
Oh, thanks, Anthony.
I'm jealous of you now. I'm so excited. Jenny, I'm on the Spice Girls with Niamh and Katrina. Anthony, great talking to you.
And you,
we'll
thanks,
Ray. Have a great weekend.
Bye, Anthony.
So, is that okay? Can you arrange to go?
100%. Yes. Well, it doesn't really matter. We're going, right? We were kind of going to stand
outside anyway. Thanks a million. I'm delighted at that.
Have you got something to wear and all that a consideration?
Niamh has a Spice Girls t-shirt in her bag.
Yeah, because I just randomly keep them in my bag, you know?
Right.
Just in case emergencies.
Did you suspect we were going to do that?
No, absolutely not. I'll tell you what, I have that in my bag because one of the girls that I work with, she got loads of them and she gave me an extra one because she knows I love them. So,
right.
Yeah.
This is very special tonight because it's the first one.
Yeah,
I know. And they've been rehearsing in Crow Park for the last week or so. Yeah. So they'll be very nervous and that'll have an energy about it, won't it?
Yeah.
We'll be like, we're here with you.
Yeah.
There you go. So, Niamh, thank you very much. Enjoy tonight. Katrina,
thanks,
enjoy
Ray.
Tonight.
Thank you so much.
Spice Girls, spicing up the life of Niamh and Katrina. That was great fun. Don Conroy's outside waiting to come on and have a chat with us. We have to take a quick commercial break first.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, a lot of my favourite people on the show today. Don Conroy, good afternoon.
Well, it's a great pleasure to see you, right?
Yeah, no, it's great to talk to you again.
How are you doing?
We would have been sort of talking at this time regularly back in the day.
I got my hug. the bear hug.
Just to tell people that back in the day on the Den, Don Conroy was famous for his hug, so much so that it was called the Don Conroy hug. So it was a side hug, wasn't it, Don?
Yes.
So
I was just happy beside you,
So great to see. I'll get this out of the way in case we run out of time. So you're doing three art workshops on Saturday, 29th of June, as part of the Kaleidoscope Festival in Rossborough House in Blessington in Wicklow. And tickets for the festival, which starts on Friday 28th and goes on till Sunday the 30th, are available at Ticketmaster. That's the Kaleidoscope Festival in Rossborough House. And you'll be showing people how to draw.
Well, yeah, it's going to be a very exciting festival for the family. And I think it's marvellous to engage families at events. This is a 3-day event. They can even camp there. There's going to be food, of course, music, all kinds of entertainment, and I'll be doing some drawing.
Yeah.
I have three workshops on the Saturday.
When was the first time you were on television, Don? How many years ago?
My God, it was actually 1982.
Right.
My very first appearance. And I was just telling your researcher earlier that the first time I was on the Den, after it, I went down for coffee, and this woman came over to me. And she said, excuse me, were you on the television today? I said, oh, yes, that was me. So I said, would you do me a great favour? And I thought, she's going to ask me, will I get tickets for the Late Late Show or something? And she said, would you ever tell that fella from Dallas, you know who I mean? And I said, sorry, from Dallas? She says, he's so rude to his wife. You know, JR, she said, would you ever have a word with him? I said, well, I didn't know that. I'm not going to have coffee with him anymore. She says, well, that's right. That'll be good.
So there you go.
And I thought, that's the beauty of television.
Well, back in the day, it still had a mystery about it.
Yeah.
It still had a bit of mystery about it.
We were all together, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know you're sitting with all these Spice Girls.
Yeah. And you had an amazing connection with everybody.
Thank you.
You know, you did. And I don't know how many times I saw you draw an owl, but it never tired. It never tired. Where did the whole love affair with wildlife come from?
When I was about 9, I actually, my mother asked me to do a drawing from my aunt who was in hospital. So I did a drawing of a robin singing outside of a hospital window. It was a cartoon. And a woman inside with a big thermometer in her mouth. She actually sent that drawing over to England. And believe it or not, I won a book as a result of
it.
I came first in under 12s. And this book was all about the wildlife of Britain and Ireland. And that to me was such a treasure trove. I opened this up and thought, there were eagles, there were, you know, wolves,
All
kinds of wonderful things. And I loved it. And of course, I lived beside Herbert Park, and that place was everything to me, you know.
So that's your two loves in life, really, well, apart from your family, but drawing and wildlife.
Initially,
came together at a very young age.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it always surprised me that people didn't draw, you know. I just assumed everybody did. And I was even saved from being beaten up by the school bully once because I drew him a picture.
Right.
He was beating up somebody else. And I was saying, would you leave him alone, you know? And he's, I'm going to beat you up after school. I said, oh, God. So and I was waiting for them, you know. So I said to the teacher, can I clean the blackboard? Can I put away the books? Will you get out? Get out, get out. When I went out, the bully was waiting for me with his two friends. And they were just about to beat me up, and then he said to me, well, I won't beat you up if you draw me a picture of Tarzan. So I saved you.
That was an odd request.
It was.
Hey, I know that there's one of those school strike protests about the environment on in Dunleary or Monkstown today.
Right.
And you've always, again, like Pauline McLean, you've always been talking about the environment. And do you get a little bit despondent about the way the world's going?
No, I don't really, to be honest with you, because there's an awful lot of fear being thrown out there all the time. And I think nature's a great healer. And it takes people, the human being, to use their imagination. And of course, it's insane to pollute your own homeland, you know. I hate to see, you know, litter and all that stuff, and especially plastic in the ocean and all that. You know, there's no need for it, you know. But at the same time, I think we live in a magical world, and we needn't be throwing all these, you know, fears at people to such an extent that they want to just give up. And you know. Because I went to a school once, and they were shown Inconvenient Truth several years ago. And the teacher said, oh, it's great to see you, Don. And will you be drawing? And I said, yeah, of course I will. I'll tell them some stories. They said, the children are quite upset. They're quite depressed. And I said, why? Well, they were all watching The Inconvenient Truth. I made sure they all watched it. And all the poor children were so traumatised.
Yes, yeah.
And then, of course, the second part of it is that adults are to blame for everything then, you know. And then you start looking with, you know, fallen eyes. You end up having a negative view of the world.
And where's hope?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's one thing, to get out of the Pandora's box.
Yeah. Because you do need hope, and it's
essential.
You can understand, even as an adult, I find it overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, global warming and climate change and all that, and what can we do as an individual to change that?
Yeah.
So as a child, you can understand, it'd be just completely.
You just, absolutely. If you hit with one big drama after the other, then, you know, people are absolutely, they just want to turn off the light. So but it's far from the truth.
You've children and grandchildren. How many grandchildren have you got?
Would you believe I've 9 now?
9? Right, and what are the ages?
All various, all in steps, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I was with two of them earlier. Violet, who was 5, and Ryan, who was 2.5.
Right.
And Fionn, who's just gone 2, and, you know. And then there's Alana, and there's Naomi. And I took Naomi for a walk with Richie, you know, Richie.
Yeah.
He was asking for you, by the way.
Right.
And this is interesting what little children say. I was walking in this nature place and it was full of the wind turbines. And she looked up and she said, what are they? And I said, well, they're called wind turbines. What are they doing where the birds are? You know, out of the mouth of babes, yeah, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
She's only three, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to answer that, isn't it? Yeah.
You know?
So when I knew you, you lived in Dublin. I believe you moved down to Wexford.
Yes.
What was the thinking there?
Well, again, there was various reasons, but I had friends down there. I still have, of course. And then I was doing a lot of radio programs down there. And not competing with you. And then, but I was quite remote. And my wife does suffer from a lot of allergies and that. So then we thought about it. And of course, the family were all in Dublin. Mm. So we've moved to Wicklow.
Right.
And we love Wicklow. So we're there, you know, for the past few months. And it's lovely to go for a walk and people come up and chat with you, you know, for various reasons. But there's, I think if politicians, dare I say the words, take time to listen to the general public, what they have, there's the wisdom in the ordinary people is extraordinary. And I always marvel at that.
You've been to so many schools over the years. Like, have you ever tried to tot up how many children you've spoken to?
No, I haven't. But in fact, I'm involved in another one in Wexford at the moment. There's a lovely program they have, Wildlife and School Scheme, with Cliona Connolly from the Wexford County Council. And they're so enthusiastic about getting a good message across and balancing it, you know, with nature and art and the environment and all the things. So it's all done with joy rather than fear.
Mm.
And I think that's, to me, very important.
So you're still going into primary schools?
I am. And libraries. And you know what's nice now? Going to libraries, I've now been asked to talk to the adults. So I go to the children maybe on one day, and 2 days later I'm talking to adults in the evening with something totally different.
But of course a lot of the adults will remember you from your den days.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you're still writing away.
I'm like a Time Lord.
Do you mind me asking what age you are, Don?
I'm turning this up 70 soon.
You're 72?
No, 70 soon.
You're 70 soon?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So 69.
Right, you're looking great on it.
Oh, yeah, very
still a full head of hair. I was just saying.
No, that's
the
week, sorry.
You've obviously got a portrait in the attic. So you're. I better give this a plug again.
Yes,
so
very
Kaleidoscope
important.
Festival in Rusborough House in Blessington and Wicklow, and it's on from Friday the 28th till Sunday the 30th of June. And tickets are available at Ticketmaster, and you'll be there.
Yeah.
So you're still writing. When is your next book out?
Well, I would say I'm in the process of working on two at the moment, but I've just finished a book called Shakespeare and Ratback. I haven't done anything with it yet, but I'm trying to introduce young people to Shakespeare. Because when you go from national school to secondary school or whatever, it's pretty traumatic to try and get grips with Shakespeare.
Mm.
But if you do, the pleasure you will get from discovering Shakespeare.
So it's called Shakespeare in Ratbag.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So it's a bit perverse. But I mean.
Will you please say a big hello to Don? I had my first joint exhibition with Don. Did we have a pause there?
You have me worried there.
And my first joint exhibition with Don many, many years ago in Newbridge. He's amazing, a very fine human being, says June in Kildare.
Oh, that's very nice.
Don,
thank
great
you,
to see you again.
Likewise, sir.
Really good to see you. That's it from us. I'm just looking at the clock there. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it from us. And we hope Niamh and Katrina have a brilliant time at Spice Girls. And if you're going to Spice Girls, Mark Knopfler or Rod Stewart, have a brilliant time and have a brilliant weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday at 3 o'clock. Mary Wilson's on the way. Have a great weekend.
The Ray Dicey Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.